Hey, you. Yeah, you. You ever been to camp? Look at you. Of course you haven't. You're a wrestling fan. But Killian McMurphy and Big Dust are here to let you in on a little secret.
You can go to Camp Leapfrog on IWTV.
You looking for wrestling that's fun?
Wrestling that's different?
Wrestling that everyone's gonna love?
Or are you just looking for Killian McMurphy to beat the snot out of some geek?
That's Camp Leapfrog on IWTV. Tune in now, nerds.
Hey, what's up, everyone, and welcome to today's episode of What's Up Wrestler, a podcast by Nerds of Wrestling. I'm your host, Justin Del Rio, and my guest at this very time is PJ Savage. PJ, what is going on, bro? How are you?
Hey, what's up, man? What's up, wrestler? Just got savage.
Dude, I'm so happy to have you on today.
Man, much appreciated, man. I've done a ton of these podcasts, and I just want to make sure I say it every time I'm on. Thank you to the work you guys are doing, man. You're giving indie wrestlers and just wrestlers in general another platform to perform and just to get our name out there. And this is a chance for me to let people know who I am. So, man, greatly appreciative of the opportunity.
Dude, thank you so much for that recognition. You know, it does mean a lot to hear stuff like that from you guys. What have you been going through? Like, how have you been through this whole pandemic and this whole madness we're going through?
Man, I gotta be honest. The beginning of this pandemic was tough. I was over at World of Unpredictable Wrestling, and New York shut down. Mm. New York with the whole wrestling and athletic commission, New York is kind of handcuffed. We were hoping when UFC came in that wrestling would get deregulated and there'd be less rules for wrestling, and wrestling could have got off the ground. But once UFC and MMA got in, it got worse with the rules, and the pandemic made it even worse. So it was tough, man. And then all the gyms shut down, so there was no way for me to work out. I had to turn my house into an at-home gym, and I got three kids, man. I got a little man who just turned one. He's one and a half. Yeah, so it's tough, man. I had bought a stepper, a bike, and just having that little man, that little monster run around trying to grab the pedals or play around with stuff while I'm doing it. Man, it was tough. So the pandemic hit me pretty hard, but blessings that me and my family are in good health, and you know, we're all still here and pushing through it, and I could still be wrestling today, you know.
That's all that matters in the long run. I give you so much credit for turning your home into a home gym. When I was on the pandemic and quarantine, I didn't do nothing. I was very lazy, very, very lazy. I didn't do anything, bro. I'm chilling. I'm not doing nothing.
Man, that was me like the first 6 months, man. I swear I put on like 20 pounds. I was so subconscious about it when I first started wrestling again. Oh, man. I was like, God, I'm out of shape. I'm going to blow up the moment I get into this ring. All I did was play PlayStation and Xbox the first 6 months and take care of my kids, man. Like, that was it. And then I had to turn it up, you know? So,
yeah,
man.
Of course. What kind of games do you play for your Xbox and PlayStation?
Man, there's like two things I'm passionate about besides my family. It's professional wrestling and video games, man. I'm a video game head. I have both the Xbox Series X and PlayStation 5. I drove my girl crazy trying to get those at launch. she was helping me buy them when they were going live in September. It was crazy in this household, man. But yeah, I play everything. I literally play everything. Right now I'm playing Returnal for the PS5. So I'm having fun with that, man.
I feel like everyone listening is like, damn, PJ is lucky. He got a PS5. I gotta get one too. Like, shit.
Man, look, shout out to another wrestler named Jay Bougie. Jay Bougie was hunting down PS5s for all his friends. He was actually the reason I got the PS5. I got the Xbox Series X on my own on Walmart.
Right.
But Jay Bougie was the one that got me on Amazon, and it was like, wow. He got it for me launch day, too, so that was crazy.
I feel like, correct me if I'm wrong, I feel like the PlayStation is a lot more popular than the Xbox. I'm a Sony guy. Yeah. I don't know which one you prefer, but I prefer Sony way over Microsoft.
Yeah, look, I'm an Xbox guy. I love my Xbox. But the reason I love my Xbox is because I played it since, like, the first Xbox came out. I wasn't a PlayStation kid growing up. I was more of a Nintendo kid. You know, that's what my mom got me. So I was on the Nintendo more. And then after Nintendo, I played the Xbox. But the PlayStation's a must-have. It's definitely the most popular. It has the best games on it. I love my PlayStation. I play both sides. I'm on WCW and WWE. I play both shows.
Nothing wrong with that. You know, I work with kids. It's funny how you said, you know, during this whole pandemic, like, you, like, had your kids going crazy. I could relate. I don't have kids on my own, but I work with kids for a living, and I know how it is, bro. So, you know, like, you know, God bless you for being a father. You know, everyone goes
Appreciate that, man.
You know, no problem. Everyone goes, oh, Justin, I don't know how you work with kids. I'm like, bro, I've been doing it for like 12 years. It's like, whatever now at this point.
Oh, that's awesome, man. Yeah, man, look, my father wasn't in my life at all. Like, not even one bit. So, like, when I first became a father, it was like a mission, you know. Yeah. And I've made my mistakes just like every other father did. But my kids are my everything. They're my passion, my pull. They're the reason I do this. My little 1.5-year-old son, Lucas, every time he sees my shirt, he points at it and tries to say savage, even though he can't. So it's, man, they're my everything, man.
That's awesome, man. God bless you for all that. That's amazing. You know, I want to talk a little bit about you on how PJ Savage became PJ Savage. Growing up, were you always a big fan of professional wrestling?
Yeah, man. Like, my grandmother was tremendously influential on me and me becoming a professional wrestler. Man, I used to be 4-year-old little PJ Savage sitting on my grandmother's couch with her combing her hair, watching everything that came on the TV. So my first wrestling event that I ever went to was WrestleMania 10. So yeah, I was 4 years old, man.
Four.
Yeah. So I was brainwashed. I was just like my kids are now. I was brainwashed from the beginning, man. Wrestling. It was wrestling or nothing. I had a question asked the other day. It was like, what would you do if it wasn't for wrestling? Nothing. It's just wrestling. That's it, man.
WrestleMania 10, I know you said you were 4 years old at the time, but kind of looking back, like, yo, my first wrestling show ever was WrestleMania 10 in Madison Square Garden. I don't know if you remember it at all, but if you could recall, like, one thing, what do you remember?
There's two things I recall vividly. I was in the section right where the entrance was here, mm-hmm. and then they had like fans up here. I was towards that section, and Macho Man was fighting Crush, or Atom Bomb, I think his name was at the time, and they run towards under me, and you couldn't see nothing no more. And that was it for me. Like, I remember that very vividly. And Bret Hart at the end of the show being raised up on everybody's shoulders, that was the moment for me. I was looking, I was like, I gotta do that. I want to be Bret Hart. I want to be that guy. So those are two things I remember vividly.
I always get so jealous when, you know, I mentioned this before on a few of my other shows, when wrestlers go, I watch wrestling with my family. My family was into it. My grandma, my dad, my mom, my aunt, my uncle, my dog, my cat. I was like, oh, damn, like, shit, like, get lucky. Like, yeah. Like, I mention it all the time. I'm the only one in my whole family who absolutely loves wrestling. Nobody else likes it. My dad doesn't like it, but, like, I show my dad a few things. He goes, okay, that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool.
He'll get into it a little bit.
But, like, he absolutely refuses to, you know, acknowledge the fact that it's an actual, you know, it's an actual sport and it's very entertaining. But, you know, to each their own. Was there, other than your grandma, who else was a big wrestling fan in your family?
Like I said, man, I was brainwashed. I can't name a family member in my house, probably besides my mother, who just wasn't into it. I lived with my uncles, my grandmother. We lived in this like big apartment. And that's where I first grew up. And my uncles, my cousins, everybody was into it. I would go to school and, man, I grew up during the Attitude Era. So it was like Stone Cold, DX, everything. I grew up in the height of it, The Rock.
Of course.
And so everybody was into it. There was like not a person. And then being from New York, it's kind of like where the smart marks were born. So it's like you go to a show and then there'll be tons of smart marks with ECW shirts and ECW belts and all the backyarders and everybody be outside. So it was like everybody was just super interesting. So I grew up just drowned in professional wrestling, man.
That's amazing. I mentioned before to, you know, GL, I interviewed him before. I said, can you imagine if we had the knowledge we have now, like when we were kids? Like, what if we knew all the wrestling, like all the moves, all the stuff behind it? Like, we would be annoying. We would be so annoyed to people who have no idea what you're talking about. And they're trying to explain to them, and you're like, just forget it. You don't understand. When you get older, you'll understand.
Yeah, and that's kind of where we're at now. You know, like, if I don't try to like push wrestling onto anybody.
Nah.
If they don't understand it yet, they're just not going to get it. But once it becomes mainstream, because wrestling isn't really mainstream right now, once it becomes mainstream again, it's everybody's going to be into it, just like the Attitude Era. Everybody's going to just be drowned into it. So it's going to come. I'm going to be that guy that brings that mainstream feeling back.
So, hell yeah, bro. We can't wait. We can't wait for that. Growing up in the Attitude Era, I know you said you went to WrestleMania 10. Absolutely awesome. Who were some other wrestlers that you were absolutely hooked to other than, you know, the most popular?
Yeah, I mean, everybody was enamored with the you know, the main four, Stone Cold, Rock. But Triple H was a huge guy for me. I loved Triple H. But one of the other guys, I mean, RVD. RVD always stuck out. Like, I remember, like, watching ECW, and it was, like, so taboo for a kid my age to watch it. But, like, RVD always stuck out. Him and Lance Storm. They would have, like, the best matches, and I was always into them. RVD, when he came over during that Attitude Era, RVD was huge for me. Him and Jeff Hardy were like, I was so into those guys. I used to hate Edge and Christian because I was just such like so into the Hardy Boys.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of people hated. I feel like a lot of people didn't hate Edge and Christian as a tag team, but I feel like a lot of people, including myself, hated Edge with a passion, especially back in like 05-06. I was a big Cena mark. I started watching wrestling in 05-06. Cena was the guy. Like a lot of people, like a lot of young kids who watch wrestling now, Roman Reigns was the guy back in 2015. Now they hate him because he's a bad guy. So I feel like, correct me if I'm wrong, I feel like there's no top babyface in the company right now that is like, no more, there's no more John Cena, no more Roman Reigns. Like, who do you think could fill that spot? I know this is kind of a hard question, too.
I mean, right now, there is literally no clear-cut babyface Hulk Hogan. Like, if I could name a few, you had Hulk Hogan. You had Bret Hart. You had John Cena. You had Stone Cold. We were so blessed during the Attitude Era. You had Stone Cold and The Rock at the same time.
Right.
But John Cena, and then it was Roman. But Roman with the whole heel turn now, and there's just no one there. There's no one. And honestly, maybe just because I'm biased and I'm a professional wrestler now, I don't see anyone on that roster doing it because I want to do it. I want to be that guy. I want to be that next guy. I don't care if I'm 2-3 years out from being on TV. I'm going to be that next guy. I want to be that next guy. I want to put that whole company on my back and just ride that wave. But even when you look at NXT, I mean, look, I'm not lying when I say people right now, when they watch the product, they're not really into it. They're not into WWE's product. Even with NXT, like, it kind of lost its flair. The whole Finn Balor era when Kevin Owens was there and Joe and Shinsuke, Sammy, that was one hell of an NXT era. I was so into it at that point. But it kind of dwindled down for me. I actually watch more AEW than I do anything else, even though I watch everything.
Right,
but I enjoy AEW. It reminds me of old WCW.
I love that, and it's funny how you mentioned how, you know, I kind of said the same thing to my friend a couple years back that I'm like, wait, I was wrong. I said once, you know, like Kevin Owens left, Samoa Joe left, you know, Finn Balor, Sasha Banks, all like the top, you know, Sami Zayn and all them. Once they all left NXT, I'm like, it kind of sucks. But then I started watching NXT because I wasn't really watching at the time. You know, I saw Adam Cole, Johnny Gargano, all these guys. I'm like, holy shit, I was wrong. Wait, NXT's fire. And NXT still is fire. It is so much better than the main roster.
Yeah, the main roster is just watered down right now.
It's so bad. I don't know if you heard last night, Eva Marie's coming back.
Yeah, whole Evolution is back.
a lot, Watch. I tweeted this morning. I was like, yo, Eva's going to surprise us all. Like, watch.
Look, I hope so. Look, I do nothing but root for anything professional wrestling. Because I'm a professional wrestler, this is the business that I'm getting into. So it has to thrive. Wrestling has to be successful in order for me to be successful.
Right.
So exactly. I hope she tears down the show. I hope she, like, lights it on fire. I wish nothing but the best for every performer out there. So I hope she brings something to the table, man.
Honestly, me too. I feel, you know, I'm like low-key rooting for her. Yes, I said it right. I am rooting for Eva Marie, so.
Oh, man, he just lost followers. Oh, God.
It's all good. They'll come back. They'll come back. People leave, and I get like 10,000 members a day, so it's okay. It's all good.
Man, not on my episode.
Watch, you're like the bad luck episode.
Oh, man.
Talk about, I want to know more about PJ Savage. Sorry, how did PJ Savage really want to get into the world of professional wrestling? Like, what made you start and how was training?
Man, so back in like 2015, I had my second child. I had my son Abel, my firstborn son. And I was like in probably the worst part of my life that I can remember. I was going through some pretty bad stuff. And he was like the only bright spot, him in wrestling. I used to sit down on my little 3-month-old and watch wrestling on the TV, and that made me happy. And that was right around the time the network had first started. Yep. So I was like, you know, just watching wrestling all day. And I remember one day I went to the Barclays Center, and I was the darkest part. And Raw was in town. And I love the feel whenever wrestling's in town. And the fans go crazy. Like, when you go to the Barclays Center and wrestling's in town, those fans go nuts. Everybody's wooing. Everybody's got the shirts out, the belts, cosplay, everything. Wrestling fans are the greatest fans in any sport. I don't care what anyone says. Wrestling has the greatest fans.
Hell yeah.
But I love that electricity. And I remember going to the back of the Barclays Center and just standing there, staring at the production truck. And I was like, I don't want to be a fan. No disrespect to fans, man. I want to be in that room. I want to sit at that table with Vince and Flair and belong. And that led me to just searching the internet. And of course, Johnny Rods pops up every second you type in wrestling school in New York. He trained all the ECW guys. House of Glory was a thought too. I was thinking about going there, but my whole thing about getting into professional wrestling is I want to be remembered. I want to have that historic story behind me. I want to tell my journey. My journey starts before I even get to the big show. So putting that name of Johnny Rods behind you was like, it was enticing, the thought of it. And man, that was probably the best decision I ever made in my life. I went down there, started training with him. And that man, I have nothing but great things to say about Johnny Rods. He is, I might be biased, he is the greatest professional wrestling trainer that ever lived. Johnny Rods is the man. And he trained me thoroughly. I would sit in his office, and one of the things, if any other professional wrestlers out there just learning or you think about getting into it, when you first get into it, take all the lessons in. If someone else messes up, sit down and listen to that person get chewed out and take it in like it's yours. That's what Johnny basically like told me the whole time. And man, I was a sponge sitting under Johnny's tree. And I remember one time I didn't have no gimmick. I didn't have no name. He doesn't even let you name yourself. No.
What?
Yeah, no, he's very old school. So like you go in there, I remember I was like, I want to name myself. I want maybe Seth Abel or something. I was like a Seth Rollins mark.
Right.
And I was a mark. And I remember going to Johnny, like, hey Johnny, when can I name myself? Hey, bah, you don't name yourself. What kind of mark are you? I was like, oh man, what's gonna happen now? I was in like the first 2 years, I was PJ Nelly. JP Nels, he would call me anything he wanted to call me. Whatever he wrote on the paper that day, that was my name for the show. And I remember one day I wore a Savage shirt, and because I was going to wear another shirt, a lot of guys was calling me like PJ Prodigy, like, oh, it stuck out. So I got this big T-shirt made. It said Prodigy PJ with skull on it, right? So I was marked. I was
fire.
Oh man, I was hyped up. Found out my shirt got lost in the mail the day before the show. Right? So I'm like, oh God, what am I gonna do? So I went to the t-shirt shop, made a shirt that just said Savage AF with some skull and crossbones. Wore it, and everyone called me PJ Savage after that. So it wasn't even like something that I thought. getting into business, like, oh, I'm gonna name myself Savage. You don't even think about it. Macho Man is the Savage, right. You know?
Of course.
So I was like, I wasn't even thinking about naming myself Savage, and it just stuck, man. And like a lot of my friends had called me Savage. You know, like the generation that we're in now, Savage has like a different meaning to it. It wasn't the primal meaning that it was before. And I kind of like embodied that whole Savage movement. It was who I was. And it just stuck, man. And PJ Savage took off after that. And it's been running ever since.
I guess losing that t-shirt in the mill was a blessing in disguise.
Man, imagine I would have been calling myself PJ Prodigy. Everybody would have hated me.
PJ Prodigy kind of sounds like a douchebag kind of name.
All right. It just comes off super heelish. The whole persona would have been different. The PJ Savage really like, PJ Savage, I don't have to turn into a character.
Right.
I can just be who I am. And it's me with the volume cranked up all the way to 1,000. And it's just who I am. So the Savage moniker kind of stuck with me. And it is me, man. So it definitely worked out for the better.
I love that. I always ask this question, too. I know, kind of going back a little bit, way back, what do you remember most from your training? What was the first bump you've ever taken? And what was going through your mind after that bump?
Oh, man. The first bump I ever took was back bump. And I took that bump and immediately it was like, I can do this. I can do this. I know people have the fear of like falling backwards.
Right. I do.
But it was just one of those things that was like, man, I remember this question got asked to me not too long ago. Do I get nervous? I was nervous the first day I went to go train. And then after that, every nervous bone in my body left. I've not ever been nervous during any professional wrestling show, training, anything. Like, it's just, I've never felt more at home than I do inside of a wrestling ring. So I remember after that first bump, I was sold. It was like, oh, I can do this. And I remember I got all my bumps down first day, side bumps, Johnny teaches side bumps and back bumps and face bumps. I did all my bumps first day, got all my rolls down first day. Shout out to Matt Stryker, because Matt Stryker was my trainer my first day. He was in there running the ring, and man, he was golden to my progression, especially being there the first day. Gave me so much confidence and so much insight into what I needed to do. So big shout out to Matt Stryker. But if it wasn't for Matt Stryker, it'd probably be a different story, to be honest with you. Yeah.
That was the question I was gonna ask after you hit that first back bump. Like, were you like, yeah, this is it, this is where I belong? And you answered it for me, bro.
My man.
I love that. What other bumps did you take? Like, I know you said you did pretty much everything. What was the hardest? What was the hardest bump you taking?
Oh, man. All right. So there was a man, one of my trainers, Pedro Dones. I still hate you. Nah, I love you, man. Dones was teaching us like big bumps. And what I mean by that, he was like teaching us how to back bump off the bottom rope, second rope, and he tried to get us to go to the top rope. And I remember that second rope. That one was the one where it was like, I was nervous, I was scared. I was like, oh, I gotta tuck my chin on this one. This one might be scary. And I remember hitting that bump, and it was just like, okay, bones didn't rattle, tuck my chin. As long as you do it the right way and the way they teach you, you don't feel a thing. Like, you literally don't feel it. I mean, of course, that's when you first start training.
Of course.
After you put some wear and tear on your body, 6 months into it, not even 2 months into it, everything hurts. But
of course. You said you don't get nervous at all. You know, not anymore. Were you nervous like the slightest in your debut match? And how long did it take you to get booked in that match?
All right, so my first wrestling, so I started February 27th. That was the first day I trained. There was a show March 5th. And it was like 6-7 days later. And Johnny made me ref the whole show, basically. There was like 2 matches I didn't ref. I guess he wanted to see if I could like stay in the ring, how much I loved it.
Right.
And I loved it. It was easy. But then a month later, on April 9th, was my debut match. It was a tag match. And so I was a month and a half in. And wow. I remember right before I went out, and, you know, I was a mark. I had my arm sleeve. I had, you know, I was super. I looked like a creative wrestler 2.0. And Man, I put on everything there was, but I remember right before I went out that curtain, I was a little worried because I wasn't nervous. It was like, man, like, this is the moment. I psyched myself up. I was like, this is the moment where, like, it's going to hit me. Like, oh, my God, I'm going to wrestle him. And it was a big show. It was at La Boom. It wasn't at, like, some... Yeah.
What the fuck? Bro, you wrestled at La Boom?
First match in, man. And
it wasn't training.
Yeah, like, it wasn't some little light work 100-person show. Like, that place was packed. Psycho Clown was in town that show. So La Boom was crazy. Is huge.
Damn, yeah, I love that location.
La Boom. Oh, man, it's one of my favorite places to wrestle. My family loves watching me wrestle there. I can't wait till they open back up. But it was at La Boom, man. I'm behind the curtain. Like, this should shock me right now. And it didn't. I walked the curtain and felt at home, man. It was one of the easiest things I ever did in my life.
Matt, I feel like you weren't nervous because, like, you kind of just mastered everything in such a short amount of time.
I still haven't mastered anything. No, like, it's definitely what you're saying. Like, I had the confidence. Like, the confidence was like, I know I'm not going to go out and look stupid. You know, like, I know how to handle myself. And one of the things I feel like a lot of wrestlers do when they first start, it's like, I remember one of the first times I ever did a suplex in the ring. I was training. It was like probably 2 weeks, 3 weeks in. And I wanted to do a suplex. And they was like, have you ever done it before? And I looked at the guy dead in his face and said, yeah, I never did a suplex. But you know how it looks. You watched it your whole life on TV. You know, throw the man's arm over your shoulder, grab his shorts, and take him for a ride.
Looked him up.
And yeah, exactly. And I feel like that's the one thing a lot of wrestlers don't realize when they first start training. It's you've been watching this. Just do what you see on TV. Just do what you've been watching your whole life. Mimic it. And it'll come to you naturally. And that's what happened with me, man. It was just like a lot of things. It didn't come natural. It was just like, these are things I've been watching and studying my whole life.
I love that. And I'm like still mind blown that you wrestled at La Boom in your debut match. Like, holy shit. Like, man. Everyone's listening, like, La Boom. Yeah, a lot of people, man. That's Evolve. That's where Evolve goes a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. I got a funny story about that too, right? So I was going to win that match, right? So I get told in the back, hey, PJ, what's your finish? And my mark self, I'm 2 months in. I don't have a finish. Like, I don't even know how this match is going to go. I'm just hoping I don't look stupid. So I look at the guy next to me, my boy Leo. He was wrestling with me. He still travels on a road meet today. I go, rock bottom. Let me hit you to rock bottom. He goes, you damn, Mark. I'm not letting you hit me with a rock bottom. I'm like, oh, man, what am I going to do? He's like, do a full Nelson. And I hate the full Nelson slam. Like, it just... Bro, I'm telling you, when I was, like, watching wrestling, I thought it was the most boring move there was. Like, I just did not like it. And here I am, 5 years into my wrestling career. It's my finish, and it's been my finish ever since my debut. So, like, it's just the way the world works. And I remember I came out, I hit the full Nelson. After I hit it, he got up high for it. Full Nelson always depends on that other guy if he can get up for it.
Of course.
And he made it look so good. That crowd popped. And I was like, they popped for a guy that's never wrestled before. So this is something I got to keep in my back pocket. So that's a little funny story about La Boom.
That is awesome. You said the full Nelson is, and that's your finisher. Kind of funny. You said, what is your most favorite wrestling move of all time?
Sharpshooter. I'm a sharpshooter, Mark, man. Of course. I tried doing like I still do it. It's like a modified sharpshooter, go down to one leg. But I'm kind of like a high impact, punch you in the mouth kind of wrestler. I'm not really a submission guy. So it's always hard for me to hook in submission. I just posted up a video. I'm the guy that like catches two guys and power bombs them on each other. So that's not the kind of guy you see hooking in submissions all the time. So it's hard to like put it in there. But sharpshooter, I'm a mark for sharpshooter, man. There's nothing sexier than sharpshooter.
Yeah, Bret Hart over here, huh?
Yeah, man. Ain't nothing like Bret Hart, man.
I have a funny story about that. It's kind of, I interviewed Alexia and Nicole a couple weeks ago, and I asked the most stupidest question known to man. And once I asked it, I was like, "Wait, pause. That's a dumb question." Okay. So she's from Canada.
Yeah.
So obviously, so is Edge, Christian, all the great
Jericho, Hitman, Hart, Omega, Jericho, all of them.
So I kind of was like, is wrestling big in Canada? And I was like, wait.
Oh, my God. That's like an epicenter for wrestling, man. Like, oh, man.
I'm just going with the flow, bro. She's talking about Canada. I'm like, yes, just going with the conversation. I'm like,
you're just shooting. You're just shooting off the top of your head.
Exactly. I was like, oh, she goes, it's okay. No such thing as a dumb question. I'm like, God, oh my God, that was a dumb question. Oh man. But no, this whole thing is going crazy. This whole pandemic.
Yeah.
What are your goals for PJ Savage after this whole thing ends?
Man, I've been talking to everybody that's close to me. And I was at Johnny Rod's, to give a little bit of a backstory. Johnny Rod's doesn't let you do outside shows. So I was with him for 5 years. I put in the work. I was doing everything. I was heavyweight champion for 3 years, going on 4 years. I left. I'm no longer there. I am officially an indie guy starting January. And I've been hitting the indie circuit hard. I'm booked every weekend for a long time. That's so awesome. Right now, my goal is to take over the East Coast and to bring such fire, such a name to the East Coast. One of the things I want to bring into professional wrestling is that big fight feel. That Conor McGregor. You hit Conor McGregor's fight and you want to watch. You don't care who he's fighting. You want to look at it. You hear Mayweather's fighting, you're going to watch the pay-per-view.
Right.
Everybody's getting together and they're going to watch it. 6 months from now, I want to have that name where it's like, what's PJ going to do today? Savage is fighting this show. Right. I got to go. I got to watch. You know, and it right now, the first 6 months is going to be all about laying the groundwork and the foundation to show everyone that I am that guy. And then after that, it's off and running. Once those big promotions start giving me a chance, I'm telling you, I'm going to blow the roof off of everything.
Hell yeah, bro. It due time, bro. It takes a lot of time, but yeah. I 100% believe in you. I know you were just at Tesla Strength Wrestling on Sunday.
Yeah, that's awesome. That was dope. Yeah.
That was in Connecticut. I'm from Connecticut, and I heard about the show, and I was like, oh, shit, there's a show today, and I couldn't make it. So yeah. Low-key upset I didn't go, but, Connecticut has so much wrestling out there. Like I said, Tesla Strength, Blitzkrieg, Northeast Wrestling is definitely where I hope to see you. And
I can't wait to break into Northeast, man. I'm actually going to be heading out. It's in Rhode Island soon, XWA. I'm going to be heading up there pretty soon. So I'm interested in that loop. I feel like right now I'm on that Jersey loop, the Jersey to Philly loop. And getting into Test of Strength, it's going to head me up more towards those upper states. I'm going to be hitting every loop there is, man. I don't care. I'm going to be the guy that's booked the most, working hardest, doing every podcast, doing every match there is thrown in front of me. I don't care where it's at. Like this weekend, I'm going to be in Philly. And then Sunday, I'm going to be in Delaware, I think. I don't even know where I'm going to be at, man.
Jeez, that's awesome.
Yeah, and then next week, it's going to be Rhode Island on Thursday and Jersey on Friday and Saturday. So, man, I'm looking forward to it all.
Hell yeah, bro. PJ Savage here. Dude, I wish you nothing but the best of luck, and I want to thank you so much for coming on the show today. This has been an absolute blast and such an honor to talk to you.
Man, I appreciate you, man. Again, thank you for all the work you're doing. You're putting guys on the map. I got to know King Kai because I saw him on your show, and I just met him at Sister Strength this weekend.
Yeah, he's a dude.
Yeah, man. So the work you guys do, it helps me study, and it helps guys like me and anybody else get to put their name out there and get to get people to see us, man. So thank you, man. Appreciate you for having me on, man.
Of course. Actually, we do have one question I forgot to ask. This is my buddy Joey G. He says, do you think you could beat Big Game Leroy in Smash Bros?
Oh, man. Yes. Yes. You know what I want to do? I want to have a match with Big Game Leroy. I hope you're watching, Leroy. I want to have a match with you. At the start of the match, we're going to play Smash Bros, right? Then after that, I want to pop in a GameCube and act like we're going to play someone, and I'm going to take the GameCube out and beat your ass with it. And then just start brawling from the inside of a room into a wrestling ring. Let's make it happen. I want to break your Switch. Let's make this happen. Let's do it now. Look, Switch and Nintendo, those are for babies, all right? You got the Series X and the PS5 here. I'm going to take that little Switch baby Leroy Game Boy, and I'm going to break him. Break him with a GameCube. There we go.
We got to book that now. That'll be amazing. PJ, before we do sign off, though, tell those nerds where they can find you.
Oh, man. Everything is at PJ Savage _. I'm on Instagram. I'm on Twitter. I'm on YouTube. I'm everywhere, man. www.prowrestlingtees.com/PJSavage. Go get that merch now.
Now, go do it, nerds. This has been an episode of What's Up Wrestler, a podcast by Nerds of Wrestling. I'm your host, Justin Del Rio. Peace out, nerds. And that concludes this episode on the Nerds of Wrestling podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please don't forget to like, share, and subscribe for more future episodes. I'm your host, Justin Del Rio. Peace out, nerds.